Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, today we're ready to examine the fifth prayer request that Paul appealed to the Colossian church to add to their prayer list in regard to himself and to other gospel workers. In this three-verse exhortation to prayer in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. And so we're going to be wrapping up this section today. It is a vitally important practice, this matter of prayer, and it is very important that we understand how we are to relate to it. Not only to do it, but to do it in the most biblical way possible. Surely you would agree with me that that's what we want. We want to be faithful to pray, but like every other area of the Christian life, we don't want to just pray any old way, the way I feel like praying, but we want to pray according to the guidelines that we find in Scripture. Right? Are you with me on that? I trust that you are. And so we read the verses in Colossians chapter 4. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Thank you for joining us for this Friday, April 28 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And we're grateful to God who supplies the finances needed to broadcast on this station through listeners just like you. Well, I don't want to be too redundant by repeating a portion of this every day, and yet I realize that when it comes to radio, people are there one day and gone the next. I'm the same way. I'm sure you are too. I generally listen to the radio when I'm in my automobile, but of course, it's not always the same time every day, and sometimes in and out, and who knows. So, simply put, we have in verse 2 an exhortation to pray, and then in verses 3 and 4 some direction as to how to pray. When it comes to the how to pray, or more specifically, the what on our prayer list, we have two items. Number one, who we should pray for, and number two, what we should pray for concerning those people that we are to pray for. And the who is Paul and gospel workers. And you remember, he made it clear that I am asking you to add this to your prayer list, to add this to other things that you are already praying for. Paul is not saying that this is all that you should pray for. Paul is not saying you shouldn't pray for your own concerns, but he said in verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Verse 3, meanwhile praying also for us. Add us to your prayer list. Be sure, dear friend, this is the application for you and me today, be sure that you have gospel workers on your prayer list. Be sure that you are praying for your pastor or pastors and spiritual leaders in your church. Be sure that you are praying for missionaries who are proclaiming the gospel around the world. Be sure that you have in a prominent place on your prayer list those who are proclaimers of the gospel. That's what Paul is indicating. Also, pray for us. And what does he want them to pray for him and other gospel workers? Number one, pray for gospel opportunities, that God would open to us a door for the word. Number two, pray for understanding of the message, to speak the mystery of Christ, that people may understand this gospel that was partly concealed for so many centuries and is now more fully revealed. In fact, we would have to say, I guess, completely revealed, as much as it's going to be the side of eternity, but that doesn't mean that everybody easily understands it. So pray for God to open understanding, the understanding of the mind, so that people will understand the mystery of Christ, the gospel, as we proclaim it to them. Number three, pray for right attitudes for gospel workers and for ourselves. Paul, who was in chains, could very easily have become discouraged, could easily have become disillusioned, could easily have become bitter that God would allow such a thing like that to happen to him. Now, we don't find anything like that in here, but he does bring up his present condition. He's in chains. He doesn't ask that they pray that he be released. He just simply asks that they pray that he will be able to recognize the opportunities, the gospel opportunities that God brings into his life in spite of the fact that he is in chains. Number four, pray for gospel clarity, that I may make it manifest, that I may make it clear, that Paul will be able to articulate clearly the message of the gospel. This sounds a little bit like prayer request number two, pray for understanding of the message, but there the emphasis was more upon the listener than the proclaimer. Pray that God will open the minds and hearts of the listeners so that they can understand the spiritual truth of what I'm proclaiming. But now Paul says, please pray that I can make it clear and plain. Pray for the gospel proclaimer to have clarity. Clarity in his own mind and ability to frame his words clearly so that there's no ambiguity about what he's saying. And then number five, pray for a sense of urgency. This is important. And this concludes the list of five things. When he says in verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, that is not as clear in my translation as I think it could and should be. Translation can be difficult and tricky at times. And the way it's stated in my translation, it almost sounds like a clarifying statement for the previous phrase, that I may make it manifest or clear as I ought to speak. In other words, that number four was pray that I'll be able to clearly proclaim the gospel as I should do. That's the way I should preach. I should preach clearly. But that's not really what he's saying. It is more obviously, if you could see it in the original language, an additional element. When he says in verse 4, as I ought to speak, or as I should speak, what he's saying is there is an obligation to gospel proclamation. Pray that I will make it manifest or clear because I have an obligation to preach. God has called me to preach. I must preach. So it is related to the thing that goes before. Therefore, it's important that I be able to preach clearly, but there's something more here. I am compelled to preach the gospel. I must preach it. I'm bound to preach it. I'm compelled to preach it. I am pressed by God to preach the word. I ought to preach because God has called me to preach. There is an oughtness to Paul's gospel proclamation. And Paul was more bound by his commission to preach than he was bound by his chains. Yes, he was in chains at this time, as he reminds us, but what really bound him was this huge responsibility to preach the gospel. I must. I ought. It's the necessity of proclamation. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel, 1 Corinthians 9:16. And what is obvious here is that Paul feels a great sense of urgency. And that's good. And I'm saying that that in a sense, constitutes, and again, more by way of implication than explicit appeal, but this constitutes a fifth prayer request, because the urgency that Paul felt in preaching, all preachers need to feel. I don't know how many preachers I'm talking to now, but even if you're not a preacher, this is helpful to you. You need to know that preachers do get discouraged at times, and sometimes often. You need to realize that burnout is a very real phenomenon in the ministry, and that a lot of men burn out and drop out. You need to realize that statistics show that the average man who enters the ministry average about 15 years before they leave gospel ministry and go to something else. Now, this is what I've read. I can't confirm that, and I can't say that it seems to be that way among the people that I know. I'm just going by what I've read. But it's clear that there is a lot of attrition. There are a lot of dropouts in gospel ministry. Now, some of that is no doubt warranted. It is undoubtedly true that some men enter gospel ministry that really shouldn't be there. They really don't have a divine call upon their life for gospel ministry. They've entered for some other reason, or they have mistaken something for a call of God that is not truly a call of God. And therefore, they're bound to drop out at some point. That's exactly what you would expect. Because if a man doesn't know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that this is what he must do, this oughtness of the gospel, as I ought to speak, Colossians 4:4. If a man doesn't have that sense of urgency and compulsion about him, then he won't be able to weather the storms. Discouraging trials come along, and he says, it's not worth it. I quit. It's no use. But not if he feels, like the Apostle Paul did, this strong sense of urgency, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Therefore, it is appropriate for God's people to pray that their pastor, their friends who are in the ministry, will also have that sense of urgency upon them. Pray that the preacher will have a sense of urgency. Pray that hearers will feel the urgency of their need. That's a good prayer request. And so in the section on prayer, what have we learned? We've learned that to pray for others is a very important thing to do. In fact, I must say to you that I'm convinced this is one of the greatest ways that we can show our love for others is by praying for them. And to pray for others with a gospel perspective requires that our lives have been changed by the gospel. Otherwise, we'll never be able to pray properly. So what's on your prayer list? Is it primarily temporal needs, sickness and suffering? Nothing wrong with that. That's legitimate, but that's not the most important. That should not dominate your prayer list, nor your prayer time, nor your prayer meetings at church. Please give gospel-related requests first priority, as Paul did, and turn temporal needs into gospel opportunities. As I pray for people who are suffering and ask God to minister to them and help them with their suffering, I often pray, O Lord, make this a sanctifying influence in their lives. Use this trial for good. Use this trial to grow them stronger, to mature them in the Christian faith. That's what God does with trials. Don't pray that God will take them away. Pray that God will accomplish His divine purposes for them. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying, good day, and God give you His eternal peace.